Okay. We have been given a petition for rulemaking by the North Carolina Wildlife Federation and the Southern Environmental Law Center. Sean Meyer and I have reviewed it, and it is we deem it complete. So we now would like to have a presentation, first off, by the North Carolina Wildlife Federation on the petition, followed by discussion or comments from the division. So if y'all would like to take it away, go right ahead.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can everyone hear me okay? Yes. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, commissioners, for being here. Congratulations to Dr. Posey and Mr. McNeil for their appointments to the commission. My name is Blakely Hildebrand. I'm an attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. I'd like to introduce my colleague, Liz Rashid, who's also with SELC. And we will be presenting the petition on behalf of the North Carolina Wildlife Federation today. I'd also like to introduce Dr. Lewis Daniel, who probably needs no introduction, but I will do so anyway. Dr. Daniel is the former director of DMF. He's also an adjunct professor at NC State University and is here today in his capacity as a senior marine scientist with the North Carolina Wildlife Federation. A little closer. Thank you. Is that better? Okay. Thank you. I will discuss the petition for rulemaking after Dr. Daniel walks through the research supporting the petition and the technical justification for the petition and the management measures proposed therein. And Dr. Daniel and I may be joined by other members of the North Carolina Wildlife Federation staff to field questions. I understand we will be taking questions after the division presents their position on the petition, and we welcome those questions at that time. Before I turn the floor over to Dr. Daniel, I do want to provide a few words of historical context. 2.5 years ago, this commission approved a much more expansive version of the petition for rulemaking than what you're reviewing today. In the intervening years, the Division of Marine Fisheries raised concerns about the expense and feasibility of enforcement. And today, we are not here to relitigate those concerns. We express those, our concerns to the commission and the division at that time. Today, we're here to find a path forward. And the petition before you today dramatically narrows the scope of the original petition and prioritizes what we believe are the most important and imperative issues before you today. And the petition also addresses many of the enforcement concerns raised by the division at that time. This petition presents a common sense, research-based compromise proposal to achieve the objectives of protecting habitat, rebuilding fish stocks, and reducing bycatch. This petition does 5 things, and you'll hear more about this as we proceed through this presentation. First, the petition creates a new designation for internal coastal waters called shrimp trawl management areas. Second, the petition designates shrimp trawl management areas in internal waters only. Third, the petition sets a uniform and consistent metric for opening shrimp season. Fourth, the petition limits head ropes to 110 feet in newly designated shrimp trawl management areas. And finally, the petition opens for 24 hours on Mondays and Wednesdays, and until 9 p.m. on Fridays, shrimp trawl management areas. This petition does not affect ocean waters, and it does not speak to nursery area designations. I want to make that clear at the outset. So with all of that in mind, I'm going to turn the floor over to Dr. Daniel for more information about the petition.
Thank you, Blakely. Hey, everybody. Mr. Chairman, thank you for this opportunity to let me provide my thoughts on this issue. And I too, would like to congratulate all the new commissioners that I have not met yet. Many of the seats have changed since I was with you last. Let's see. Where are the notes? Oh, okay. So, right here, right? Okay. So, let me just give you a background real quickly of the Sound Solutions policy of the North Carolina Wildlife Federation. And that was developed to address the significant and measurable declines we've seen in the health of many of our most iconic commercial and recreational fisheries. The combination of the economic viability of the fishery coupled with the decline in these stocks due to habitat loss and overfishing pale in comparison to the lost potential to our state as a result of the hundreds of millions of juvenile fishes lost to shrimp trawl bycatch each year. The goals and efforts behind implementing the Fisheries Reform Act to rebuild overfished stocks and streamline management through fishery management plans and the CHIP have yielded few measurable results. Based on the reported status of the stocks most impacted by shrimp trawl bycatch, the time to act is now. The revised petition before you, again, we tried to address many of the concerns raised in the fiscal analysis provided by the division on the former petition, and we've tried to go in and make some modifications that we believe also strengthen the petition to rebuild these fish populations. The status of populations such as spot, croaker, weakfish, southern flounder, I think as you all know, is poor based on multiple factors that include not just landings information, but the age structure of the population, the size structure, and abundance. Shrimp trawl bycatch of many important fish stocks in North Carolina is the largest source of mortality for these fishes coast-wide, while landings for some species, both commercial and recreational, have significantly declined. And we know that the inshore shrimping grounds function as critical nursery habitat for these and many other species, yet we've done little to address these issues. And I say we collectively. The science is clear regarding the status of our fish stocks, and their future is uncertain. In the face of this uncertainty, we urge a precautionary approach to err on the side of these public trust resources and not continue to wait for a 100% data certainty in this most uncertain science. The efforts of North Carolina to implement bycatch reduction devices in the early 1990s was a good step, and we applaud the efforts that have been made to this time. While these efforts were met with opposition, it was felt that these devices had potential. Further requirements from the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission in 1995, the Weakfish Fishery Management Plan, required a quantitative reduction in weakfish bycatch. These conditions were tested and met with the current birds, so the current birds meet the requirements of the Atlantic States. However, no quantitative benefits to fish stocks' health can be attributed to these efforts after 25 years. Because the vast majority of inshore shrimping occurs in nursery areas of some description, reduction in the amount of gear, area fished, and time trawled are critical to reducing bycatch. This petition adopts the same research-based, data-driven approach that the former petition did. Yes? Okay, sorry. This just shows you a list of the primary sources of information that we use to develop the petition. Many of these reports are already attached and provided to you in the various exhibits. I reviewed multiple ASMFC plans and division stock assessments. The division website was very helpful in collecting a lot of information. There was a lot of information that was not there that I have some recommendations to try to add some things to the data query tool that I think would help everybody down in the future. But after reviewing all that information, we came up with a series of compelling factors that we believe need to be addressed in order to rebuild important fish stocks in North Carolina and to reduce the bycatch and discards of numerous ecosystem components in the current shrimp trawl fishery. Those compelling factors include the observation that spawning stock biomass is declining, age structure is truncated, and a majority of the fishes harvested in virtually all bycatch are juvenile fishes that have not had the opportunity to spawn at least once prior to harvest or death. These factors, all displayed by many of our most valuable public trust resources, is the polar opposite of how we should be managing these fisheries. It is well established in North Carolina history that spot, croaker, and weakfish were major components of many of the finfish fisheries that built the industry. As effort and technology improved in the fishery in the late 1970s and 80s, landings of croaker and weakfish, for example, reached upwards of 20 million pounds a year each. The peak occurred around 1980, when the total landings of these three species were nearly 50 million pounds. Combined landings in 2018 was 1.8 million pounds. Less than 4% of the peak. As a result, the ASMFC recommended no trawling in areas known as cyanid juvenile and spawning habitat and called those areas particular concern. Cyanids are the family of fishes that include the members of the drum family, that include spot, croaker, weakfish, red drum, black drum, spotted sea trout, weakfish, and the kingfishes. The recommendation, most critical to North Carolina since it is the only ASMFC state that allows shrimp trawling in its expansive nursery areas, was ignored and status quo remains. Ignored. We've not done anything with that recommendation. The primary question, despite uncertainty in the stock assessment models, is are we satisfied with the status of these stocks and what they are providing to our fishermen? North Carolina used to be the primary harvester of these fishes, and the South Atlantic states were a major contributor of landings of spot and croaker. While there is no doubt that commercial effort has declined due to various reasons, and may be the lack of fish available for harvest, one might expect as a result of declining commercial effort and subsequent landings that recreational fisheries would see an increase in availability. That does not appear to be the case. In fact, recreational landings are also declining, and the size and age distribution of the landings in North Carolina continue to decline and rely more and more heavily on juvenile fish. The number of citations issued for recreational catches of large fish for these three species since 2006 has averaged less than 2 per year. I went out on the Bogue Inlet Pier yesterday, and the record spot and the record croaker for 2019, the combined weight of those two fish was 1 pound. It's a 7-ounce spot and a 9-ounce croaker. Best fish on the pier this year. The current stock assessments for croaker and weakfish do not include estimates of shrimp trawl bycatch, reliable estimates. However, the 2017 ASMFC croaker assessment reported that shrimp trawl bycatch accounted for 81 to 99% and averaged 92% of annual croaker removals from 1989 to 2014. And while at least the croaker assessment indicates that abundance is increasing, they also note that harvest has declined to some of the lowest levels on record. Thus, the estimates are uncertain in the assessment as a result of these conflicting signals in harvest and abundance metrics and inadequate data on the magnitude of discards in the shrimp trawl fishery. While we focused on spot, croaker, and weakfish, as mentioned, other important species are impacted by shrimp trawl bycatch as well. Stocks deemed concerned or overfished and or overfishing that are significant components of the bycatch include summer and southern flounder and blue crab. The estimated bycatch of southern flounder is over 35,000 pounds a year. The most valuable fisheries in the state. Management plans to address these declining stocks are already or will focus on reducing the harvest in the directed fishery. While bycatch in the shrimp trawl fishery, unique to North Carolina estuaries, remains essentially status quo. In summary, weakfish, spot, and Atlantic croaker are a significant component of shrimp trawl bycatch. Juvenile fishes that have survived the highest natural mortality rates of their early life history in protected nursery areas that later succumb to shrimp trawl bycatch in unprotected but equally important habitat areas. Stock assessments for all three species lack clear information about how shrimp trawl bycatch is contributing to stock decline and were not recommended for management use. Stock assessments and stock reports since the original petition have either stayed the same or gotten worse. And I refer you to Dr. Barbieri's paper in our original petition where he pointed out in his technical review that when unknown levels of catch through discards is as high as shrimp trawl bycatch, these problems are, and I quote, these problems are so serious that some assessment scientists believe the assessments are of questionable utility without properly accounting for these sources of mortality. From a practical perspective, he concludes, this means that the true condition of Atlantic croaker, spot, and weakfish is likely to be even worse than we know because a significant source of mortality is not being properly accounted for. A technical review of the data on shrimp trawl bycatch and the impacts on select species whose occurrences are as bycatch is greatest is attached to the petition submittal, and I encourage you to review those reports. This slide shows some of the older references from the old stock status report. Many of those species now are in ASMFC reports and the like. But certainly spot are listed as concerned, weakfish depleted, severely overfished, Atlantic croaker concerned, southern flounder are now depleted, And blue crab, I believe your most recent indicator is overfished and overfishing, I believe. Landings of primary bycatch species. So this table, real quickly, just to review, if you'll see in 1996, just comparing the year before the Fisheries Reform Act to today, it's the most recent landings, shows a decline in those landings over time, and I think they're pretty substantial. 38.5 million pound total in 1996 for those species, compared to less than 5 million pounds in 2018. That's a lot of economic loss. The commercial landings of the primary species taken as bycatch have declined precipitously since the Fisheries Reform Act in 97. It's important to note that most of these species play a critical role as prey species for numerous other fishes and serve important ecosystem functions, as do shrimp, by the way. Clearly, those functions are being lost as these stocks virtually disappear. While landings data should always be viewed with caution, the decline for these species and categories is noteworthy. Landings of all species have declined, while spot, croaker, and weakfish have dropped from 48.6 million pounds in 1980 to 16.3 million pounds in 1996 to 1.8 million pounds in 2018. These three species also made up a large percentage of the bait classification. The 2014 estimated bycatch in shrimp trawls exceed the current landings for these species by almost nine times. The effort of North Carolina to implement bycatch reduction devices in the early 90s was a good step, and while these efforts were met with opposition, these devices had potential. Further requirements from ASMFC required further reductions, and these conditions were tested and met with the current birds. But after 25 years, we are unaware of any data that points to shrimp trawl bycatch reduction having improved any measurable condition for the affected fish stocks. Landing, size, and age structure abundance all declining, and have declined essentially since the requirements began. The general feeling was that these fishes that escaped through birds would grow up and spawn and contribute to the population. Made sense. But after years of trials, we have observed no measurable improvement. Based on the data and effort in our estuarine waters, those juvenile fishes must face constant trawl effort, essentially from the time they enter the trawling grounds in late spring to the time they leave the estuary in the fall. For this reason, the practical approach to reduce bycatch is to reduce effort consistent with the petition, not to continue to try to develop a better mousetrap. So specifically, what are the chances that a fish coming out of the nursery areas up here and moving into this zone right here make it across this area with the amount of shrimp trawl effort depicted in this slide? Onboard electronics that report automatic identification systems under federal rule provide effort data by vessels greater than 65 feet that were actively transmitting and shrimping over the course of the summer and early fall. And each dot represents a specific toe. So it's not the length of the track of the toe, but just the specific point where I guess the toe started. This analysis doesn't include any vessels less than 65 feet, which is a large percentage of the fleet, nor does it include any vessels larger than 65 feet that don't have VMS. Consequently, this chart provides an underestimate of the actual effort that occurs. And as you can see here, few areas, if any, provide refuge for the predominantly juvenile fishes taken in the fishery. We have not considered the population impacts of shrimp trawl bycatch to an individual species year class. By focusing on reduction at the toe level, we have no idea how many juvenile fishes actually survive the shrimp trawl season, both in estuarine waters and that effort concentrated around inlets, their primary escape route into offshore spawning areas. If we truly accomplished a 50% reduction in bycatch, we should be seeing more fish, but we don't. How frequently individual fishes interact with a shrimp trawl during a season and the likelihood of surviving each and every encounter, given at net mortality rates for these fishes, is unknown. The primary question is how many fishes actually survive the estuarine nursery areas of this state to join the spawning stock. our inability to answer this question and the likelihood that survivorship is low mandates a precautionary approach to reduce effort in this fishery consistent with the petition. By designating all waters as estuarine waters open to trawling as shrimp trawl management areas, we believe this helps you to create a framework for future management. As such, the petition is consistent with state and interjurisdictional programs such as fishery management plans in DCHIP and the ASMFC habitat plan, including the cyanid HAPCs. North Carolina has the least restrictive rules related to shrimp trawling in its estuaries on the East Coast. And most studies on trawling impacts indicate that the damage to habitat is far-reaching. Implementing protections for shrimp trawl management areas allows for this protection without creating new nursery area designations. We know that these areas all contain high juvenile abundance and must be further protected. By establishing STMAs, further protection and restoration based on fisheries independent data and more recent habitat surveys can be addressed. The intent of the petition is to reduce effort and bycatch by limiting the fishery to smaller trawls and providing breaks during the week to allow escapement. As a result, the larger and currently unprotected juveniles that occur within the STMAs have less opportunity to interact with trawls. A review of the areas currently designated as nursery habitat show they are limited relative to the expansive areas that shrimps trawl. Activity occurs coincident with juvenile fish abundance. If you look at the Pamlico Sound Survey, 47 species of fishes were encountered, with spot and croaker occurring in all strata and weak fish everywhere but Noose River. The only difference between the areas currently designated as a nursery area and the rest of the estuarine and nearshore coastal ocean is just the size of the juveniles that are encountered in that area. We contend that these larger and older juveniles that lose protection once they leave the confines of the designated nursery habitats are fit enough to survive extraordinary natural mortality rates and should be afforded additional protection to allow them to grow, mature, and spawn. Characterizing areas not otherwise closed to trawling as STMAs is essential, and they should be managed as nursery areas in the future based on the exhaustive juvenile fish data contained in the various fishery-dependent and independent sampling programs. In the meantime, delaying openings based on count size or shrimp catches until later in the season reduces bycatch and reduces concerns with the harvest of undersized shrimp. We would urge the Commission to use the petition proposals as a starting point to begin to revise our most rudimentary nursery area program and eventually set aside additional areas clearly defined by the available data as nursery areas to further reduce bycatch and restore some critical habitats. Finally, what I wanted to talk about is the value issues and the economics of the fishery, and I think this goes to a lot of the questions and the concerns that were raised by the public. And I think what this shows is that there's a lot of lost opportunity in North Carolina right now in terms of economics. And if you look at here, the 1996 price per pound on spot was 38 cents, and the price adjusted for 2018 should be around 62 cents per pound. The value provided by the division website for 2018 was $1.42, almost three times what it should be with inflation. All these fish stocks that have been impacted by shrimp trawl bycatch and that are declining, depressed, depleted, the demand is very high for these fish, and the values are going up exponentially. Whereas shrimp, the value in 96 was $2.54. The value today should be around $4.11, but the price per pound in 2018 was $2.06, suggesting potentially that demand and supply has outpaced demand. Blaming this decline in landings on North Carolina's fishing regulations is inaccurate. Indeed, North Carolina is the only state on the East Coast that allows for trawling in its estuaries, and the state's regulations on the fishery haven't meaningfully changed in decades. The landings have declined because the stocks have declined, not because regulations are stringent. I'm aware of no regulations on spot, on croaker, and nobody's fishing for them. But the value is extraordinarily high. That's an economic analysis that I think needs to be examined. We believe the resources can be better managed for both the resource and those who depend on those resources for their livelihoods. The lost income from the lack of these species is in the millions of dollars. For example, the 96 combined commercial catch of spot, croaker, and weakfish would be worth $19.5 million today. But in 2018, the ex-vessel value was just $1.8 million. That's a lot of money left on the table. Proper management of these fish populations is more economically lucrative through protection of the fishes from harvest prior to spawning age. The primary need is a significant and measurable reduction in shrimp trawl bycatch. Our proposed measures to reduce effort and expenses through lay days will improve catch rates and product value and will be critical to the solvency of the shrimp fishery as values decline. As a result, bycatch will be reduced and spot croaker, weakfish, and other species negatively impacted by the juvenile mortality, such as flounder and blue crabs, will begin to rebuild. The overall economic benefit to the recreational and commercial fishing industries will be swift and, we believe, measurable. So in conclusion, the ultimate goal of the petition, again, is to protect juvenile fishes to adulthood so they may reproduce and rebuild these depleted resources while protecting key habitat areas for these fishes to spawn, develop, and grow. North Carolina has devastated its valuable marine resources and their associated habitats by overfishing and destructive fishing practices for decades. The public trust has been wholly violated by the failure of the state to enact meaningful rules that err on the side of the resource. The responsibility of managing these resources to ensure healthy fish stocks, healthy ecosystems, thriving habitats, and economies currently lies with the commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Director, your comments on the...
Mr. Chairman, I have a few more comments
I'm
to
sorry.
Offer.
That's I thought
okay.
y'all were done. Okay.
That's fine. Well, we'll all try right. to stay within the 30 minutes that you allotted to us.
Fine.
Thank you. All right. Again, my name is Blakely Hildebrand. I'm an attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. Thank you for your time today. Before getting into the details of the petition, I want to make sure that you're familiar with all the documents that we submitted with the petition. We, of course, submitted the petition itself, and perhaps the most important piece or exhibit that we attached was Exhibit A, the text of the proposed rules. We also attached two technical reports written by Dr. Daniel and Jack Travelstead, as well as Dr. Luis Barbieri. Those reports, as well as their CVs, are attached. Exhibits G through M provide literature that supports peer-reviewed literature that supports the management measures that we proposed in this petition. And finally, and I'll show you this in a moment, we've included a map of the proposed shrimp trawl management areas for your review. So as I mentioned at the outset of this presentation, the petition does five things, or proposes five changes. First, it creates a new designation of internal coastal waters called shrimp trawl management areas. Second, it seeks to designate all inside waters not otherwise designated as nursery areas, trawl net prohibited areas, or shrimp trawl prohibited areas as shrimp trawl management areas. And this change is reflected in 3R119. The more concise way to say this is that anything that's not already close to trawling in internal coastal waters, we propose designating as shrimp trawl management areas. Third, the petition establishes criteria for the opening of shrimp season. The proposed rule directs the fisheries director to open shrimp season when the head count reaches 60 shrimp per pound during sample tows in the Pamlico Sound, or by June 15th, whichever is earlier. Under existing rules, the fisheries director has the discretion to open shrimp season and often does so by mid-May by proclamation. DMF currently samples before this opening is announcement is made, but no standards exist to guide the fisheries director as to when that opening announcement should be made. The director, we believe, should be guided by conservation principles. So the goal here with this proposed amendment is to open shrimp season once shrimp are on the larger side, hopefully garnering a higher value, and allowing juvenile fish more opportunity to move out of the sound before the season opens. Fourth, the petition seeks to allow for shrimping for 24 hours on Mondays, 24 hours on Wednesdays, and until 9 p.m. on Fridays, with lay days on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Under current regulations, trawling is already prohibited starting at 9 p.m. on Fridays and through 5 p.m. on Sundays. The past petition would have allowed for a two-day closing, and we did not specify the lay days in that earlier petition. The goal with the petition and that specific amendment was to provide maximum flexibility to fishermen so that they could trawl at the times that best met their needs. DMF raised some enforcement concerns, indicating that they may not be able to enforce that provision of the original petition effectively, so we adjusted course. And here in this petition provide very clear direction both to DMF as well as the industry with regard to open days and lay days. Finally, the petition seeks to restrict head rope length for shrimp trawls in shrimp trawl management areas to 110 feet total. This change is reflected in 3L103. This rule, proposed rule, would allow fishermen who have to meet the existing 220-foot net requirement in internal waters to use the same gear that they've already had to, that they've been using since that rule, 220-foot rule, went into effect in January of 2017. This map illustrates the proposed shrimp trawl management areas. The areas in blue are existing primary nursery areas, secondary nursery areas, and special secondary nursery areas. The areas in orange are already close to trawling under other regulations. And the areas in yellow are the proposed shrimp trawl management areas. So I've told you what's in the petition. Dr. Daniel has laid out for you why we believe this is the best decision for the resource, and I'd like to share with you why we think this is the best legal decision as well. State law outlines the Marine Fisheries Commission's powers and duties, which are quite broad, and give you, as the commission, the authority, and we believe the obligation, to adopt this petition. The Marine Fisheries Commission has the obligation to develop fishery management plans. You all will be discussing that later today, I believe. But the fishery management plans are just one tool in the Commission's toolbox to manage the fisheries resources of the state. And we would argue that tool has not been effectively used with regard to the shrimp fishery. The shrimp fishery management plan is Amendment 2 is behind. Amendment 1 did not adequately address the conservation concerns that we've been raising for the last several years. So in addition to the fishery management plan process, the commission also must adopt rules to effectuate the mandate from the legislature, that mandate being to manage, protect, preserve, and enhance the marine and estuarine resources of the state. To fulfill that mandate, the commission must manage the time, the place, the methods, and the seasons for fishing, as well as the gear, as well as the gear that's used for fishing to address safety and conservation concerns. We believe it's the Marine Fisheries Commission's obligation to adopt these rules. The petition clearly falls within the commission's statutory grant of authority. This petition is a compromise petition. It's a common-sense, data-driven petition that seeks to protect vital habitat and rebuild valuable fish stocks and reduce excessive bycatch, and we strongly urge the commission to adopt the petition. We will gladly take questions from commissioners after the division presents their position on the petition.
Okay, great. Thank you for your presentation. Mr. Director, are you care to comment on what was been presented to us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a brief presentation, if it will please the commission. So if I could kindly ask you guys to at least give me one seat.
Yes.
Still have an opportunity to ask them questions.
Oh, yes.
After?
Yeah, after the presentation, we'll have questions.
Great, thanks.
Do what? Yeah, we'll